Blog Talk Radio.
Up from the grave, Christ arose. Happy Easter, everybody out there listening around the world. Thank you for joining us for our Easter service here at Eternal Grace. Our ministry website is eternalgracechurch.com. It has our background, our beliefs, ministry, sermons, different things there. If you are spiritually fed by this ministry, you can give from your heart to sustain the ministry. We're self-supporting through our donations of those who are spiritually fed. And there's a link to worship with your giving at eternalgracechurch.com. If you're new listening to the broadcast, please feel no obligation to do so. The Bible says, freely you've received, freely give. And we give our ministry freely, and no one lives high in this ministry. We have a very high rating with the IRS and the charity navigator sites like GuideStar for our resources going to spread the gospel. So if you are new, please feel no obligation. But if you want more information or want to support Eternal Grace, you can visit there at eternalgracechurch.com. I'm really excited about the message I'm going to give today. I wasn't feeling too well this week, and had some doubts as to whether I would be able to give the message today. But last night, late into the night, I had a visitation from the Lord in which he spoke to me quite clearly, more clearly than a very rare clarity, that the resurrection has a very practical and powerful implications to our lives in the here and now. And I felt the Holy Spirit show me that his resurrection, of course, gives us eternal life and the hope and the fulfillment of the gospel, that because he lives, we shall live also. Eternal life is wonderful, and I certainly will touch on that in the sermon today. But there's some very practical benefits to how we live our life, not just pie in the sky in the hereafter, but here and now. And I felt the Spirit grieve that this is so rarely taught on today, that most people would just talk about the resurrection in heaven, and not how it applies specifically to renew us and raise us. Like Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he raises us out of those dark places in those times of where we feel like we're in the pit. And how does the resurrection power do that in our day-to-day life? So the message will be quite practical today in that regard. I had a beautiful letter written to me on Easter some years ago, and I believe it was the very early 80s. I don't have a date on the note, but it was from Keith Green, a great songwriter, and he said, "I appreciate, Richard, how you share the gospel so strongly. I have been concerned. A lot of Christian music does not seem to preach the true gospel. Your words always have power and conviction, and I appreciate your ministry, music, and fellowship." Keith died, by the way, in a plane crash shortly after that. He sent me that note. And because of the resurrection, because Jesus Christ lives, I know that Keith is more alive than he's ever been. He died in a plane crash with some of his children, as well as a Vineyard church planter, John Smalley and family. But Keith did one of my favorite Easter songs. And before I go into the sermon, I'd like you to listen to it. It's called the Easter Song. Hear the bells ringing. They're singing that Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Hear the bells ringing. They're singing that you can be born again. Hear the bells ringing. They're singing Christ is risen from the dead. Upon the tombstone, he has risen just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciple that Jesus Christ is no longer dead.
Hallelujah. Wow. So powerful. We're going to have some surprises for you today. Some greetings from a couple celebrities worshiping with us and sending their greetings and music, special Easter music for today. Today's message, four benefits of the resurrection of Christ in the here and now. I stayed up quite late reading the Bible last night, and God gave me this message. You know, I'm not a preacher who, you know, adopts a sermon and puts it in a file and pulls it out at Easter or listens to what other preachers. I'll be frank with you that, and I hope this doesn't sound like a put down or a judgment, but many preachers I know, they just kind of borrow what the hot, you know, preachers or topics are and just kind of take their sermons, you know, and I never really believed in that. The Spirit showed me, it's like a good doctor would not give the same prescription to every patient. He personally examines each patient, diagnoses them, and prescribes what's best for them. So I've always felt that I should seek him for what he wants to say. And I, last night, I'm quite excited because the Lord wanted me to teach on what are benefits of the resurrection in the here and now today. The resurrection is a fact of ancient history. In Israel, they built special monuments and churches on holy sites The Church of the Holy Sepulchre is there at the site. There's thousands of historical documents, more documents attesting to Christ's life, death, burial, and resurrection than that Julius Caesar ever lived, or that Alexander the Great conquered the known world at 33. In fact, every time someone writes the year A.D., 2021 A.D., Anno Domini in the Latin, sometimes in common language they'll say after the death of Christ, but it's actually Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, in the year of the Lord's resurrection. And then we date time by this, B.C., before Christ. So this was an event that was not mythology, that has no historical or geographical or archaeological basis. In fact, I remember a skeptic friend of mine saying that there was no Pontius Pilate years ago. They didn't have historical record, that it was a myth. And lo and behold, on an archaeological dig, a coin was found with Pontius Pilate's face on it. So I want to first establish the fact is there's a lot of historicity to the story of Jesus, much more so than many other religious stories. It is the real deal. I have experienced resurrection this week. I wasn't feeling well, and the Lord rose me up. I experienced resurrection as a teenager. I got on a horse that I was not supposed to ride. I took care of horses as a teen. It was one of my first jobs, where people boarded horses and paid to leave the horses at the barn on Grubbs Road in Wexford, Pennsylvania, where we lived. It actually was mainly shoveling a lot of horse poop. But anyways, there was a character named Farmer Tom, and he had a wild horse named Shane, and he said no one could ride this horse. And, you know, being 14 and your frontal lobes aren't developed and you do dumb things, I thought, well, I'll ride this horse. And I got on that wild horse, no saddle, holding on to the mane. This horse that had the reputation of throwing people and injuring them. People joke that, you know, it's a way to get paralyzed or dead is to hop on that horse. And I don't know, dumb, impulsive decision, got on that horse. And, you know, Christopher Reeve, the great actor from Somewhere in Time and Superman, that's how he ended up paralyzed. But I was holding on to that mane and riding that horse a good while. I made it a stretch and crossed the road into the open field. And sure enough, that horse was so wild and bucked and threw me. I mean, really threw me. And I ended up in the field, unconscious. And when the paramedics came, and I believe my mother also was there, although my vital signs were not good and flatlining, I was whispering over and over something very softly. And the paramedic who was the main paramedic, and these paramedics are great, he had remembered me as a boy, coincidentally. He played Santa Claus, and he remembered me as a boy from playing Santa and how much I love Santa. And they were writing down what I was whispering, and they were amazed I was whispering this kind of eloquent statement, though I was at death's door. And what I was whispering, I've memorized much of the Bible, was a scripture I had memorized from Romans 8, verse 11. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelleth in my mortal body, and the same Spirit shall raise me up. And I just kept repeating that. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelleth in my mortal body, and he shall raise me up. And I kept repeating it and repeating it till I came back from beyond. Wow. Now, I'm not saying that I was dead in the sense of Jesus was in the tomb, you know, three nights. But I'm telling you, this resurrection power raises us up. It can raise you up out of the pit when you're depressed. It can raise you up out of a decade dark night when you've been through the desert and the dark night of the soul. And I'm preaching today on how to really have that life. Do things that give you life. Give others life. Take the talents God's blessed you with and do something with them. That's your gift back to give life to the world. We can give life to others in the smallest ways. It doesn't have to be grandiose. I was at Chase Bank recently, and coming out of there, I noticed in front of me an elderly lady, I believe in her 90s, walking quite slow. And everybody in Los Angeles is so rushing here. If I don't drive over the speed limit, people are beeping at you and yelling things and stuff. Sometimes it's just that road rage, rush, 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 you know. So everyone's running past this lady to get out the door, practically knocking her over. And I didn't do anything spectacular. I just held the door for her and smiled at her, and she got quite emotional. And she said, "I'm glad there's one nice gentleman left in this world. It makes me feel like life is still worth hanging on a bit." She said that she was like depressed watching how no one even would hold a door for her anymore as an elderly woman. The Bible says true religion is to be kind to the widow and the orphan. And it was not a big thing I did. And, you know, you can smile at someone. You can encourage someone. You can give life. We have been through a time in the tomb of feeling separation from quarantine and being sequestered. But separation is a lie, because Romans 8, 38 and 39 says nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. What are four practical benefits? Well, let me first of all deal with the part of this thing that is the obvious meaning, is eternal life. Because he lives, John 14 says, we shall live also. You know, my father, when he was dying, I had a private moment with him. And he was having some fear looking into the face of death. He had brought up to me some guilt over past sins of his life, feeling his indoctrination growing up was certain sins are venial or minor and certain sins are mortal and will damn your soul. And he was under the weight of some guilt and shame. And I looked my father in the eyes, the same brown eyes that had held sway over me growing up as a kid and struck fear into me if he was not in the best mood. And here those eyes had nothing but fear looking into the eyes of death. And I began, as I mentioned before, I've memorized much scripture. I began to quote scriptures on the resurrection. I looked Dad in the eye and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 11. Psalm 23, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you." In these scriptures about resurrection, the fear left him, and he faced death with peace, knowing Christ's victory over death was his victory over death. You know, 1 Corinthians 15 says that, "O death, where is thy sting?" That the resurrection takes the sting out of death. And we've all been through some death in the last year. But Sunday's coming. We've been through like a Holy Saturday where Christ was in that tomb. And we've been through a year in which some of us have lost friends. I lost my drummer friend, Mike Hobler, who played on many of my songs that I've recorded and released. And my actress friend, Dawn Wells from Gilligan's Island, died of COVID. And we've had even people have funerals where, to make it even more sad, where they couldn't have a full celebration of life and a lot of people gathering. But the obvious message is that through the resurrection, we have eternal life. The sting is gone. I remember doing a magic act as a boy. I liked magic, and I had a big red cloth, and I was waving it around doing a trick, and it aggravated a bunch of wasps nearby when I was waving all these scarves around for some reason. And I got stung by these bees and wasps. And I remember when the sting was gone, my mother said that the bees can't hurt you anymore, Dickie. The sting is gone from them. And yes, we grieve. Jesus wept when his friend Lazarus died. But it doesn't hurt us in the sense of being the final word. It's not the end. It's the beginning of eternal life in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that is the obvious meaning of eternal life. But when we return after this song, I want to deal with the practicality, and bring you some hope and some newness and some resurrection in your life here and now. What do you believe in? It's been a holy Saturday of many prayers said in this difficult time of COVID, and some feel they got the answer and some feel like they didn't, that some have even been depressed and isolated and suicidal, trying to hold on through the holy Saturday, waiting for that Sunday, for that resurrection. And I believe the four benefits to the resurrection to bring you and raise you up. So rise up, my friends. When we return, I want you to really pay attention to these four blessings and benefits from the resurrection. We have some greetings from some celebrities and some music here from Dolly Parton. Thank you for your ministry at Eternal Grace. Growing up in Tennessee, we were dirt poor, but Mama always told me we could have hope because he lives. Thank you for your ministry to musicians, actors, and not only celebrities, but to the down and out and disadvantaged. And I hope you enjoy my song. This is a song from Dolly Parton, and it tells you the story that's found in the Gospels about the resurrection. John chapter 20, end of Matthew, end of Mark, end of Luke. And it is called He's Alive, Dolly Parton.
I feel very honored to get to sing this song on the show tonight. And Mama would say, I hope you get a blessing out of it. The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear today, would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. And just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and a voice began to call. So I hurried to the window.
Thank you.
God. Wow. He's alive. I need a moment to compose myself. Thank you, Dolly. Wow. Wow. You know, you're the real deal, Dolly. A lot of you have heard that big hit by Whitney Houston, "I Will Always Love You." And, you know, Dolly wrote that song first and recorded it first when I was a little boy. And she is not just a heartfelt singer, but she is a great, great songwriter. And so anointed. Thank you, Dolly. What are the four benefits here and now in how you live your life because he is alive? Number one, the first purpose of the resurrection is to empower you. I tell the children when I speak at little Sunday school children's groups, because Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down. In a more adult way of saying it, because Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit descended. Christ rose in order that you might be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you can make this shift from the outside type of immature faith where people are looking to a preacher or a denomination or a book of rules on the outside. But in the new covenant, Jeremiah said the word and laws are written in your heart. The still small voice inside of you, when you take time to be quiet and listen, will guide you from the inside. You are empowered. Because the risen Christ now lives in you. He's not just in the incarnate physical body of when he walked on earth and lived 33 years and the Word became flesh. God the Son of God became man, the God-man. But now that he has ascended to the right hand of the Father, the first purpose of the resurrection was to empower you. Empower you. John 16, verse 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And then he teaches us that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. I remember when I was in Bible school. I was at a party, and I don't talk about this too much, but a jazz saxophone player named Stewart, who African-American man who played in the jazz clubs, and I played with him, and we were talking about Jesus in the Bible, and another man got very disturbed at the party, started clawing himself. He broke a cross on the wall and then started growling, and I was like, oh my God, this is like something out of the Bible where Jesus encountered the demonized man. And I told it to be quiet and to go, and you could feel the expulsion of the evil one from this man. And I went back to the school at the seminary where they were teaching us that signs, wonders, healings, miracles did not happen anymore today. And it was surreal because I thought to myself, you're like a bunch of fishermen that sing about fishing and read books about fishing and study the original word for fish, but you never fish. You don't do the things in the stories. And the purpose of the resurrection is to empower you to live a life just as exciting as those in the Bible, to be in the book of Acts chapter 29. And some of you smart Bible students might be thinking, well, Acts only has 28 chapters. That's right, because the purpose of the resurrection is that you'd be living in chapter 29. Jesus said, Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. Don't hide your light under the bushel. You are the salt of the earth. So the resurrection empowers us, and it empowers us to be people who empower others. There's many kind of legalistic mindsets that I learned in the religious world that brought spiritual death to me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, the letter of the law killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And one of the things that brought death into my thinking was what I call binary thinking. Binary thinking is where you are very judgmental and you judge everything into two categories. And we were taught, okay, you're saved, we're saved, but all these other people around us are lost and on their way to hell. And if we don't save them, the blood's on our hands. So we would make quick judgments about this one's not saved, you know. And there was a minister in my hometown, Pittsburgh, growing up, a Presbyterian pastor who had a beautiful ministry to children on television named Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. And he said, if you want a child to be good, treat them as if they are good. If you want a child to be good, treat them as if they were. You know, when Jesus walked around and told people, you're a light, you're the salt of the earth. And in fact, his very last words in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power after my spirit has come upon you to be witnesses unto me. He was telling them that the purpose of the resurrection and the ascension was that they would be empowered to be witnesses. Now, a witness does not take on the responsibility for the world's problems. A witness simply shares their strength, experience, what they've seen, what they know. If you witnessed a car accident, you wouldn't have to fix the car. You wouldn't have to pay the insurance bills. You would simply tell what you saw. So the Spirit empowers us in the here and now to just share our story in a way that brings life to others. Well, I was brainwashed in this mindset, and I ended up in the hospital, and I'll tell you why later, but I was in the hospital in Lynchburg, Virginia, and they brought me to the room, and there was a tough a black guy from a gang in the room who was in an accident. He'd been shot at. He was from a rough background, and they asked me if I was okay being his roommate and that I didn't have to be his roommate if I didn't want to, because I guess other people had said no way because he had a bad reputation, and I said, no, I'm fine being his roommate. And I was his roommate, and we were together for a while. And while I was in that hospital room, some pastoral preacher boy students from the Bible school I was going to came in there knowing his bad reputation and started pointing at him, you need to get saved, you need to repent of your crimes, you need to get right with God. I'd been there a couple weeks by this point. And a couple days later, when the nurse brought in our lunch into our hospital room, Alvin, my roommate, and I, he asked me, could we pray for the food, but also, Richard, could you pray with me to ask Christ into my life? And I said, oh, sure, Alvin. I said, did those preacher guys get to you the other day? He said, no, I would have done it earlier. They turned me off. He said, they were pointing to me and saying, you are such a bad sinner. You need to repent. You need to get right. And he said, Richard, you never did that once. You only spoke about your experience. You told me that you were feeling depressed and you needed Christ's help as you were in here, and you called a chaplain on the phone. I overheard you telling the chaplain that you were feeling sad and weak and wanted prayer. And he said, you only shared your own need. You treated me as if I already was saved, as if I already was a child of God, and you told me how you needed God. And there was something that shifted in me, and I realized that's what a witness is. A witness isn't trying to point the finger at everybody else. We're not called to be on the judgment seat. We're called to be on the witness stand. And the resurrection empowers us to live life and to love people and to not live in this black and white, all or nothing religious binary. And that was such a life-changing moment for me when I realized the purpose of the resurrection was to empower me to just share my story and impact others. The second purpose of the resurrection, to bless you not just with eternal life in the future, which is wonderful, hallelujah, but to give you something in the here and now. The second purpose is to renew you in difficult seasons and dark nights of times of burnout, to give you strength when you're weak. I wrote a song that says, called It's All Right to Cry Today, and the bridge says, like Lazarus, I will raise you from the dead. Like Sleeping Beauty, I'll wake you from your bed. Kiss you back to life like Snow White and end, my friend, your decade dark night. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Renew their strength. That when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen? So I'm going to, after this next time of worship live from when we could gather live before COVID, and we'll be able to gather live soon again. This is one of the best worship songs. It's right from Psalm 32. You are my hiding place. And the chorus says, when I am weak, I am strong in the strength of my Lord. Amen? That's what it says to renew your strength. It's when you're weak, the Lord brings his resurrection strength and renews you. And I'm going to share with you exactly how he does that after this. You are my hiding place. We thank you, Lord. Renew those out there that need your resurrection strength, Father. the weak say, I am strong. In the strength of the Lord and his resurrection power. Yes, Father, strengthen those listening that are weak. Strengthen those that are feeling weak and tired physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, Lord. Renew their strength. Isaiah 42:3 speaks to us when we're weak, burned out, and it says, let me read it to you. It talks about a bruised reed and a flickering wick. What does that mean? Isaiah 42:3. It says, a bruised reed he shall not break. Now, as a musician who likes to play multiple instruments, as a kid, I would try to just make music from just about anything, and that's what they would do with these reeds. They would blow through it and would make a pitch sound like a woodwind instrument. But when the reed was bruised, it couldn't make its sound, its music. There's times in life where we're so tired. I felt that way after finishing our film Canaan Land recently, like a woman that had given birth and it was postpartum depression. Like, I was so tired, you know. And it feels like, oh, can I even do anymore? And sometimes we're like that reed that can't play its sound or its song, and we're tired, and we need the resurrection, risen Christ to renew our strength. It says, a bruised reed he shall not break, and the smoking flax, some translations say a flickering wick, a candle that barely has that flame, he shall not quench. The Lord loves you so much and is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? And I'm for you because God's for you. And when you're feeling weak, the second purpose of the resurrection is to renew you, to raise you up in those dark nights and difficult seasons. One of the most harmful things I was taught as a young Christian was an acronym, JOY, J-O-Y. And they told me, the preachers I was looking up to, who I thought knew more than me, turns out I had to be a better pastor to my own soul than they could ever be, but as a young man, I trusted them. And they told me that J-O-Y stands for Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And they taught me this idea of being a martyr like Christ dying on the cross, and that my own self-care wasn't important. I should always do what they were telling me Jesus wanted me to do, and also always be there to take care of others and not think about yourself at all. You know, die to self, lose yourself, that sort of a thing. And I mentioned I was in the hospital in Virginia when I won that Alvin, my roommate, to the Lord. Well, one of the reasons I was there was I was following this, putting myself at the bottom and not caring for myself. I was caring for my best friend and roommate, John, who was a quadriplegic, which meant dressing John, helping him shower, even helping him go to the bathroom and make sure he had what he needed. And then I was ministering in music and preaching all the time, and in 6-7 services a week, and working a couple jobs and classes. And I couldn't sleep because, you know, John being paralyzed, my friend, he couldn't turn over. Like, you know, when you sleep, we all kind of tend to roll over a bit to not lay on one side so long. And so people who are paralyzed can get bed sores because they're not able to turn over. And I felt Christ wanted me to care for him. You know, whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, to those that are weak in some way. And I remember an older spiritual woman who was a director. I'd done some evangelistic meetings for her. And her name was Julia, and she was worried. She said, you know, Richard, everyone's taking advantage of your good nature, but she says, you need to take care of yourself, too, and not be just taking care of everyone else. And I just kind of shined her on and didn't listen because I thought, no, I have to do what Jesus wants first, others second, me last, you know. I ended up collapsing on the sidewalk, and the Bible school, unconscious, had to go to the hospital there. And the resurrection says that you're important. You have to take care of you. The great commandments in Matthew 22, 37 through 40 says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You have to love yourself. You can only value others when you value yourself. You can only love others when you love yourself. In the resurrection, if you've been a person like me that is just burned out at times, and you gave your heart and you gave your life and you gave your blood and your sweat and your tears and you've been disappointed and feel like you're in the pit sometimes, he wants to raise you out of that pit. He wants to resurrect you. Rise up, my friends. When you're weak, be strong in the strength of our Lord. Amen. So that's the second purpose of the resurrection in our lives here and now. One, to empower you. Two, to renew you. And here's the third. The resurrection restores a childlike joy of the present. Oh, this is one of the beautiful benefits of the resurrection. Jesus said that we're to be like little children in Matthew 18. Now, in John 11, at the resurrection of Lazarus, the sisters of Lazarus both make a mistake. One is focused on the past and the other on the future. The one sister says, Jesus, if you would have been here when my brother Lazarus died, he wouldn't have died. And he says, I am the resurrection. She said, yes, but you came late. You weren't here. I thought you would have been here. So she's only looking at the past. And the other sister comes and says, when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, in John 11. The other sister says, well, I know one day at the great resurrection of all that you will do that. And Jesus keeps saying, I am the resurrection. In the Gospel of John, Jesus repeatedly says, I am. Present, I am. Not I was, not I will be. And you Bible students know when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and he said, what is your name? Whom shall I say sent me? God said, I am that I am. Ego on me in the original. So in the Gospel of John, Jesus picks this up of being present. And so many people are focused on the past, or they're all caught up in the future and setting dates for the rapture or gloom and doom predictions. But when we truly live in the resurrection power, we're like a child where we're able to be fully present. I am the resurrection. I am the bread of life, John 6. I am the good shepherd. I am. Being in the present. One of the lies religion taught me was that your worth is based on your work. And when I was in the church world, it was like a sales thing, and the sales was how many souls are saved, how many people do you get in the church. And because I was good at getting people to pray the prayer to accept Jesus, and I was good at getting people into the church, pastors would say to me, you have the strongest evangelistic gift we've ever seen. And I got so much praise, which I was hungry for praise, because my own father had struggled with bipolar disorder and was in and out of a mental hospital. And so these spiritual fathers praising my ability to build up the numbers. The American church is caught up with the ABCs, and it's A is attendance, B is buildings, C is cash. And when you're someone who, for whatever reason, because of your talent or your looks or your sales ability, that you can bring people in, you'll get this praise in the church because your worth is based on your work. And so certain gifts that I had were used for the utilitarian benefit. Utilitarian means what practical benefits of increase in numbers or increase in money does it bring. And I would have televangelists bring me on their telethons on the big Christian stations and speak to the camera to the young people to give, because they said, you're the only one that can get the younger people to give. Most of our donors are like senior citizens, and these televangelists were competing for the same pool of senior donors. And then when I wrote songs, I write songs on guitar, they would want me to write songs that would fit their ministry agenda, like worship songs or Christian songs that would talk about salvation. And I'm proud of those songs I wrote, the worship songs I wrote, the Christian rock I wrote. I'm not putting it down. But if they limited my creativity. They didn't want me to write anything that didn't build up the numbers. And as a creative person, it was very suppressive because everything had to run through this theological filter. And sometimes they would criticize, oh, that song's not doctrinally correct. You need to change that lyric. Or don't write a song about nature, or don't write a song about love in the human sense. Only write these songs that will build up the numbers because your worth is based on your work of how many souls are saved. They didn't say it that explicitly, but that was the mindset. And that's why in the evangelical church world you see all these multi-level marketing scams, because the whole culture is about so susceptible to this sales mindset. So you get all these people peddling Amway and peddling all these different, Herbalife or Shackley, they used to be like predators on our house church groups. We had all these house churches meeting in every neighborhood and in the city, and they would just go from house church to house church with their multi-level marketing pyramid schemes because they knew that so many Christians have this sales mindset, and they're susceptible to that kind of culture. But when you truly encounter the risen Christ, I want to minister to you today that you have intrinsic worth. An animal, if you have a dog that you love or a cat that you love, they don't feel like the cat has to chase enough mice to earn your love. Your dog doesn't feel like I've got to, do enough leaps through a hoop or, no, they're able to just be. They're able to just lay there in the sun. A child can have that sense of wonder. I am the resurrection. I am present. And I bought into the lie of what Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist, talks about archetypes. And I had a messianic archetype put on me because we had a healing ministry where people were looking at me to be the healer, the martyr. Now, again, I would tell them it's not me, it's Jesus. And they would say we follow God. But in the church culture of much of Christianity, it's about the charismatic pastor. And we like the way this guy preaches. And this guy has the message. And it's very unhealthy for the minister, the congregation, and the person speaking, because the point of the resurrection was that there was to be no big eyes and to be no little U's. The point of the resurrection was that we would all be empowered, number one, that we would all, number two, be able to be renewing, spiritual renewal through his spirit, and giving life and doing those things which bring us life and doing those things which give life to others, and we would be in that childlike place. I was so lifted up by visiting with the children in the grade school from my friend and guitar student, Kelly, who said, I want you to come and speak and perform some music for my kids that I teach. I've been a teacher over 30 years. And the faces of those children and the joy in their face when I played guitar for them, I did it on the screen, through technology, and they all, at one point it ran up to the screen filming me playing guitar with their little Chromebooks, and they said, we're your biggest fans. And these little children, 9 years old, they brought such life to me. They lifted me up. And God wants us to be like children. I remember being at events and parties and having to sit with the men, and they're all kind of trying to one-up each other of who owns what and who's doing what and what kind of cars they have and boats they have. And I would always be relieved when one of the kids would say, hey, can you come play with us? We're short a guy on the basketball court. Because children aren't into all those lies of our culture, that your worth is these external things and your worth is based on your work. What do you do? And also in the religious culture, I find you often have to suppress yourself and wear a religious mask. There's a subtle lie that I'm not good enough for me. I have to be a certain type of Christian. I have to believe a certain way. I have to save someone else or witness to someone else to be valuable. But, it's such a lie because I remember starting our church and my friend Steve Sobuck was the only one at the first meeting. He had started so small. And when this particular radio show you're listening to now first started in 1991, we had an audience that grew quite large. And when we did the listener parties, it was so many thousands of people. We had to rent the halls, and the downtown area, Soldiers and Sailors Hall, where the candidates like Trump and Biden will rent when they have their rallies. And I looked out at those thousands of people, and I still felt like I wasn't enough. I wasn't valuable enough. I needed to save more. I needed to get more in there. But see, a child can just play. Does a child need doctrine, correct belief to have joy? No. Does a child have to get enough kids into a certain cause to have joy? No. A child is just refreshed by playing and has joy. And the risen Christ wants to restore that to you, that joy. He wants to minister to your spirit and give you back the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And because he lives, you can live. You can get back that flow and be like a child playing where you lose track of time and you're curious about life. And since I've gone deeper with the risen Christ and went from fundamentalism to freedom, from religion to relationship, he's restoring my childlikeness, my creativity, and my creativity is no longer confined to some sort of doctrinal restrictions. My love of science has returned. When I was a little boy, I loved science so much, and I used to compete in these science fairs and put together these science projects. And when I went into fundamentalism, they took my love of science away because they demonized all science, secular science. Oh, they're all evil evolutionists, evolutionists. They believe we come from scum and climb from slime. Don't listen to any of those scientists. The Earth's only 6,000 years old, creating in 6 literal days, and if they don't believe that, they have nothing good to say. And they just were so anti anything that didn't quite fit their system that I quit studying science. And since I've gotten away from those more doctrinaire legalists, my childlike wonder of the world is back. My childlike creativity is back. The world is no longer divided in a binary between sacred and secular. I have a reverence when I look at this beautiful world. And now I know that God is not just the risen Lord of the Christian subculture. He's Lord of all. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." But see, I was in a culture that had such spiritual death to it, you couldn't enjoy anything except what they approved in their narrow mindset. It got so weird. I got in trouble in Bible school for having a Christian rock album by Larry Norman. Larry's wife, Pamela, is a dear friend of ours and has come to our Eternal Grace meetings. And we got a chuckle out of that even his music, because it had too much of a beat, I got in big trouble in Bible school for that. It was even a Christian rock album. I got a real kick when Willie Nelson was on Pat Robertson's 700 Club show, and Willie had done an album of gospel music. And Pat, who was coming from that kind of binary of the secular and sacred dichotomy, that there's Christian music and then secular music, Pat Robertson says, "Praise God, Willie, hallelujah, I'm glad you finally quit doing secular music and you finally put out a sacred album to have Willie Nelson sing sacred music, wow." Willie Nelson gave him a stare. He said, "Brother Pat, all my music is sacred music, brother." I loved it. All my music. I'm not saying that there's not certain types of music that are more suited towards sacred purposes, like worship music or anything like that. But Willie was in the understanding and the mindset that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And God can speak through so many things. There's secular prophets and secular movies that you could call secular that have such powerful spiritual themes. But Willie Nelson is a great country singer, and he really kind of shut Pat up in that moment. Speaking of country singers, Carrie Underwood sends her Easter greetings to Eternal Grace. She said, "Appreciate the ministry, and I started singing in First Free Will Baptist Church, where I grew up in Oklahoma. I know, Richard, that Because He Lives is one of your all-time favorites, and enjoy it for your worship of the Lord this Easter." So I'll return with our final point here on the resurrection's benefits and blessings for today. But we want you to be blessed by Carrie Underwood singing one of my all-time favorites by one of the greatest hymn writer, gospel songwriters, who I think is one of the best that ever walked the earth in terms of songwriting, Bill Gaither. This is Carrie Underwood, Because He Lives, and I'll be back for my concluding point of our Easter message that'll really bless you. Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He to buy my part.
Yes, life is worth the living, Lord, because you live and you are alive. The last benefit of the four I wanted to teach on today of the resurrection for you in the here and now is it makes you alive to fully enjoy this life in this world. Not only do you have eternal life, but in eternal bliss and supreme happiness in the afterlife, because of the risen Christ, you can be reasonably happy in this life. It might not be the supreme, perfect happiness of heaven, but this resurrection life can give you a tremendous amount of joy and happiness in this life. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Romans 1 says that nature is so beautiful, and those of us connected to the risen Christ can enjoy it on such a higher level and seeing the master artist's handiwork. We can enjoy art. As I said, we can enjoy science. We can enjoy the fullness of this life. And I want you to enjoy some worship with me. And then if you'd like to call in to say something encouraging to share with our listeners or pray for those out there with us, you could send us an email at richardrossilive@gmail.com or call into the number on your screen. So worship with us for a bit. Just close your eyes, lift your hands, lift your voice, and it'll minister to your soul to praise him along with us now. And this is from a live gathering of worship. We love you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, touch those listening. alive. King of kings, Lord of lords, he is risen. He is risen. Welcome to the broadcast. We've been worshiping the Lord here at Eternal Grace. We have some people on the phone lines, and we invite you to send a greeting or share your Easter joy with those listening. So we're going to line one, Gary calling out of Pennsylvania. And a happy Easter, Gary.
Happy Easter, Rich. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Nice to hear from you.
Great.
It's been a while. Hearing your voice brings back memories of you giving me a gift of a Macanudo cigar for my birthday years ago.
You know, yeah, that's probably the biggest smile I've had in a few years, my friend. It is so good to touch base with you and to hear, to be part of what you just shared, Psalm 91, that's from everlasting to everlasting before he even created the earth. That joy was given to us.
Mm.
I just wanted to say that. But bless you, brother. This is awesome. Great.
Bless you, too.
Excellent.
Bless you, too.
Happy
I like what you, had said to me. You sent me a message earlier, rise up in him. And that's a good word to everybody listening, rise up in him.
If you'd like a comment on that, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. When we rise up out of that water, there's a special work of the Holy Spirit. It causes us to enter into a realm of childlike rest before the Lord.
Mm.
And when we rise in him, we're actually on the ascent right now. Once we start rising, we don't stop rising. We're on the ascent. And as others descend, he's on the ascent. And so as the Holy Spirit came down when Jesus went up, as we go up, then may God have mercy on those that go down. But the fact is, today represents that we are on the ascent.
We are on the ascent. That's beautiful, Gary. Now, when I go to the other callers, I'll keep you on mute if you want to stay on the line to hear the broadcast.
I would love to.
Sometimes you can hear through the phone, and that way if the internet connection goes weird, you can still hear. So I'm going to still keep you on the line, okay, Gary?
Thank you, sir. Have a great
day. God bless you, my friend. Nice to hear from you, Gary. Line two is Chaplain Josie Pollock, who's been chaplain at the L.A. County Jail. There's a beautiful film about her ministry I suggest you all watch on YouTube. Just go on YouTube and search On Faith Alone, the Josie Pollock story. And it's made by a dear friend of Josie and I. So I believe it's Noel. Are you there, Josie? Was it Noel, Amy? Am I remembering right that made that film, directed that film?
And Noel Amy Cosell.
Yes, yes. Well, welcome. Happy Easter, Josie.
Well, I need that resurrection power. I have had such a bout of chronic fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely wanted to take me to lunch today, and there's no way I can make it. So I need, this was for me today, to hear about we will rise up.
Amen.
I need rise up.
Yeah, like Gary just said, rise up and ascend in his strength. Well, let's pray for you. Holy Spirit, I lift up Josie to you. You said that when we are weak, then we are strong. Holy Spirit, you're in her, you're around her, you're under her, and we pray for your tangible power. Raise her up and restore her strength. Let herself feel herself getting that strength back, that zest, that verve back. Energize her and come upon her, Lord. You said, come unto me and I will give you rest. And I thank you for restoring her in this time of rest and raising her back up, and that you have more for her to do, Lord. Like Caleb and Joshua possessing the land in their 80s, Lord, that you are raising her up in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for the many people in jail she has ministered to. She ministered to those in jail without judgment. As you said, the true followers of Christ, when I am in prison, you would visit me. And she has done that. She has shown your love to those that others had judged. And I pray that you would restore her soul, body, mind. Strengthen her, Lord. Strengthen her, Lord. I thank you for what you've been teaching us today, that in light of the resurrection, it's not just for heaven, but it affects how we live now. And we can ask you for resurrection strength to raise her up as you raise Lazarus, Lord. Raise her up, Lord.
Renew her. Renew means make new again. Renew her, Lord. Renew her in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome, Josie. You're really wonderful the way you've ministered and to so many and how you brought Christ's love into the L.A. County Jail.
You know, 2020 did a rehash of the Menendez brothers, told their life story. And I guess there's a lot of youngsters on TikTok that want to see them get a new trial or something.
Wow.
Because the second trial they got was really a travesty of justice. And
yeah,
it made me so sad to think of all the time I spent talking and ministering to Eric,
mm-hmm,
who was one of the sweetest people I ever met.
Yes.
And his wife said that about him. Barbara Waters said, why did you marry him? And she said, all these things that he possesses, you know, they can't even have conjugal visits. They just can hold hands and kiss goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope they do get out. I mean, I remember praying with him that he wouldn't get the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And praying that he and his brother would go to the same prison, which they didn't for years, but I guess they're in the same one now.
Yeah.
So
I
thank you for your prayer. I thank you for your message. And
oh,
it really points out the difference between the Jesus we serve and so many other Christians.
Mm, yes, yes. Well, I'm so thankful that you serve the real Jesus and you minister to Eric Menendez and so many in jail, Robert Downey, Tommy Lee, so many well-known people, as well as just, I know another story that's quite amazing to me is our dear friend Philip Miles, who did house churches among a lot of the black entertainers in Smokey Robinson's home and others. And then his wife was shot by a gang shooting. And then
I ministered to one of the gang without knowing. Until
and then you brought Philip in there, and Philip forgave him, and he was led to the Lord, the man that shot his wife.
Yeah, I had them have a phone call together.
Wow.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And Philip is such a great brother. I love Philip so much, and he's helped me with legal matters on my sister Amy film and other projects, you know, pro bono, just as a ministry to help me. And he's such a good brother.
Yeah, I agree. It's been far too long since I've seen him.
Yeah, he's precious. Well, you know, that's what Jesus does. He goes to those that others would judge and label and cast off. And Jesus is a friend of the fallen. Look who was the first one to see him, the risen Christ, Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the early church fathers wrote that Mary Magdalene was called the apostle to the apostles, because apostle means sent one, because she's the one sent to Peter, James, and John and said, come, follow me. And they ran, and John ran on ahead. He was younger than Peter. But Mary was the one. And she loved Jesus like that great musical Jesus Christ Superstar has a song, I Don't Know How to Love Him, but she couldn't love him in the normal way as a woman to a man, almost like Eric Menendez. They couldn't have that normal physical expression. But she channeled her love for Jesus into being at that tomb while the men were still hiding out. And so Christ's resurrection often reaches those that others would judge and would, you know, women in that couldn't even testify in court in those days. They were considered second class. And who is the first one Jesus chose to see the risen Christ? Mary Magdalene. John chapter 20.
Yeah, well, we live in a patriarchal society.
Yes. Well, Josie, when I go to the other calls, I can keep you on as I did my dear friend Gary, if you want to listen through your phone. You want to just stay on and be
well,
muted?
Yeah, well, I couldn't get you on the internet today, so I've been on the phone all the time.
Yeah. Okay, I'll keep you on now. We'll go to line three, which is in Long Beach number, although I think it's Jeff calling from out in the desert, in the Mojave Desert. Jeff, happy Easter, Jeff.
Happy Easter to you, too.
Well, he is risen, and what do you want to share to encourage those listening today?
Well, actually, I wanted to let you know that on April the 2nd, I was able to watch the Kanan Man movie with Larry, and Larry enjoyed the movie quite a bit.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the plug. And those of you listening out there, our film Kanan Land, it's a film that we just finished. I play a con man preacher who's merchandising manufactured miracles that are just fake for money. And I fall in love with a woman who's a real spirit-filled Christian, the real deal, played by Rebecca Holden, star of the mega-hit TV show Knight Rider. She was on that show with David Hasselhoff. And it's all about, can I find repentance? Can I find true salvation? And the film is now on Amazon Prime. If you're an Amazon Prime member, you can watch it absolutely free. If you're an Amazon Prime member, by going to Amazon Prime and just search out Kanan Land. It's also on Vimeo.com, V-I-M-E-O.com. You can, as a one-time purchase, if you don't want to join Amazon Prime, you can pay to rent it there or get it. Also on ChristianCinema.com, and that's the Christian distributor, and I hope some of you will get it there to support their ministry, ChristianCinema.com. Kanan Land is on there. But so I'm glad you and Larry got to watch it on April 2nd. Jeff, what was your reaction?
Well, as you remember, you and I watched it at your house before, and I thought there might be a couple of changes from the version that we watched at your house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, you know, at the very first of the movie, when Sarah is talking on the webcam, I don't remember the little green lines as though you're looking at her on the camera.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Richard Krause added that. Yeah, Richard Krause added that to try to give the audience the awareness that this is kind of like a live stream broadcast of her sermons that she's doing.
Yeah, I actually thought that was a pretty good addition. There's one other thing that I wanted to ask you about, and this is going to be, might be a little difficult for you to respond to, but when you were in the mall, there was a lady singing a song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly the name of the song, but Larry was wondering if Rebecca was singing that one too.
Yes, that was Rebecca. Rebecca is one of the best singers in the world. I mean, she has just a world-class singing voice. She went to Juilliard, the top music school, and I believe that song was the classic Christian Christmas song, "O Holy Night." O Holy Night.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, and tell Larry that was Rebecca singing. All the music in the film is like from us, you know, either songs I wrote and performed or songs that Rebecca sang. So every single song sung in the film is either Rebecca or me singing, with the exception of a brief. In the very beginning of the film, there's a brief Kanan Land song that's the old traditional Kanan Land spiritual that you hear for just a moment. But other than that, it's all us.
That's really good.
Yeah, I'm so glad Larry got to watch it, and please give him my best.
There was one thing he was kind of bummed out about, and that is that Larry's kind of the old-fashioned type of guy that wants a DVD.
Well, we are going to have that DVD. Well, we're working on that, Jeff. Things sure have changed. Today, a lot of people stream stuff, and they don't even do that. You know what's really kind of disappointing was Amazon would manufacture DVDs of my movies and CDs of my music. As of June, they're no longer offering that to independent artists where they'll do that for you. So I've had to find some other companies. So this last week I've talked to about 3 or 4 different companies that make DVDs because some people still do want them. But hopefully we decide on which one to go with soon. And, I mean, there is a bit of time to manufacture it and get out there. So it might be a couple months or so we'll hopefully have the DVDs ready. I mean, I still have DVD and VHS. I may be one of the only people. I still have a landline and VHS. I still have a record player and play LP records. So I feel I agree with Larry. I mean, it's kind of a shame the tangible media is no longer there. But, you know, one good thing is our work gets out there even more because like my music now streaming out there. It's going into all kind of places that my CDs never went. And even young kids do music streaming. I mentioned the kids in the grade school that I played for and that are so sweet and said, we're your biggest fans. Well, their teacher Kelly, was telling me that one of the gals says, I get home from school and I blast Richard's music, you know. But these kids probably would not, you know, hear my music if it was just only on CDs. So the streaming does get it out there, but, yeah, I'm going to try to get Larry a DVD. tell him it's on the way. We're working on it.
All right.
Now, how did
He's
you two
more
watch
than
it?
To pay for it?
How did you
huh?
watch it? How did you guys watch it?
Well, I went to the link that on my computer. I went to the link that you put up, the www.livestream.com.
Oh, you watched it there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
good. I'm glad
to it cost me $8 to watch the movie, and after it was over, Larry insisted on giving me half of that.
Wow. So you actually watched it Saturday and it worked?
Yeah, this was actually the second was the day I watched it, and that was, I believe, was Saturday. And
so when you paid, did they send you a link to go to, or what happened?
Well, they it said that we're taking you back after I paid. It said taking you back to the vendor now. You know, so that means I went back to the same site, and then they started it up.
Oh, great. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear it worked because there were some technical issues. So I'm glad it worked for you.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
Great, Jeff. That's a good report.
Sorry
well, God
about
bless
those
you.
Technical issues. But,
okay,
yeah,
I'll keep
anyway,
you on mute
bless.
Now. I'll keep you on mute now, and you can listen to the phone because I'll go to the next line. And welcome, 818, first three numbers, 818-912. Welcome. Happy Easter, 818-912. Hello? I'm going to line 4. Your area code is 818 and 912. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Happy Easter. Welcome. You're live on the show.
Oh, okay. I didn't call, but I guess... Oh, my gosh.
Hello? Okay, we had some problems there with that one. I don't know what happened there. Okay. Well, we are live here in Eternal Grace, and it's Easter time, and God is risen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. I hope you enjoyed the message today. And you know what? I have my guitar here. I had it here as a tentative thing because I've been recovering a bit physically, and I had it here in case I felt up to doing a little worship on the guitar live for you, and I think I will do a little bit. God is good. Let's worship the Lord. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. He's alive forevermore. Alive, alive, he's alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. He's alive. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Christ is Lord.
from the dead, and he is Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. More than words can say. I love you, Lord. How I love you, Lord. Each and every up each day, you are my daily bread. I need you, Lord. Oh, how I need you, Lord. Each and every day, I need you. How I need you, Lord, more than my words can say. You are the air I breathe, risen from the dead. Rise me up each day. You are my daily bread. Sing it with me. Close your eyes. Lift your hearts, voices, and hands to the Lord. Sing it to him, listening where you are. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Each and every day. Each and every day. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. More than words can say. You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. Risen from the dead. You rise me up each day. You are my daily bread. You are my daily bread. I am loved by you. I am loved by you. I am blessed by you. I'm blessed by you. I am healed. I am healed by you. My Lord, my Lord. I'm loved by you. I am blessed by you. I am healed by you. My Lord. I hear your footsteps in this place. I hear your footsteps in this place. I feel the warmth of your embrace. I feel the warmth of your embrace. Face to face, face to face. Eternal grace, eternal grace. I hear the footsteps in this place. Oh Lord.
sweet embrace, face to face, eternal grace, eternal grace, face to face, eternal grace. Come and fill your lambs, come and fill your lambs. Jesus, oh my sweet Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Sing it with me. Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart. Let Him fill your heart. Satisfy your soul. Satisfy your soul. Let Him have those things that hold you. Let Him have those things that hold you in His Spirit like a dove. In His Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life. Will descend upon your life and make you whole.
Rise up in Him today.
rise up in Him today. Rise up in Him today. That the fire of the Holy Spirit may descend upon you as it descended on those in the upper room in tongues of fire. Receive my resurrection power. Your best days are ahead. Receive my resurrection to be renewed and risen up from the ashes of the dark decade of a dark night. I raise you as I raise Lazarus from the dead. Receive the fire of my resurrection power. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Snow White, in my friend, your decade dark night. Not just be another resurrection sermon. Let it be an experience of your spirit ministering life right now to them, Lord. EternalGraceChurch.com. If you're spiritually fed through this ministry, we are self-supporting through our contributions, and you can donate at EternalGraceChurch.com. If you're new to this broadcast, feel no pressure or obligation. Freely we receive, freely give. May you rise in Him today. May you rise up in Him today as He rose up from that grave with a mighty triumph over His foes. It's been a blessing to be with you this Easter. And God is so good. Christ arose. Christ arose. Christ arose. Christ arose. They sealed up that tomb with a big rock. The Roman guards would be punished by death if they let that body get out, but the stone was thrown away as if by an earthquake. The seal, the Roman seal, was broken. They found the cloth lying there. The Shad HaTorah has an image, a photographic negative, long before we had photography, that when reversed shows a man burst through that shroud. They say it's like the power of a nuclear bomb. It was the same type of image as left at Hiroshima when the bomb went off. It was so much power when he rose up from the grave he arose. This is our closing hymn. He arose. I just want to review all four points of the four benefits of the resurrection. Number one,
The purpose of the resurrection is to empower you. He ascended that the Spirit may descend upon you. Jesus said in John 16:7, it's necessary that I ascend that the Spirit may descend and empower you. Acts 1:8, he said, the Spirit has come upon you now that I am risen to be witnesses unto me. Number two, the resurrection renews us in difficult seasons, dark nights. He raises us like he raised Lazarus. It says in Isaiah, he renews our strength when we're weak. The third point, it restores a childlike joy of the present. He is, I am the resurrection. It's being able to be a child and be present again and enjoy life. And the last and fourth point is he makes us alive to fully enjoy all of this life in this world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So that is the four benefits of the resurrection that I taught today. He is risen. Up from the grave he arose.
Up from the grave he arose.
From the grave he arose. In mighty triumph.